What?
No, but I started
to think. No, I keep it there.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 7th episode of Loud and Anxious. This is Serena.
And this is Murat.
Why are you laughing?
I realized that when we will air this episode in 2021 and when we ask each other how our weeks were, so we need to talk about future.
If you, because you don't want to think about it or what?
No. It was just a bit strange to think about it in the first place.
I did not really get it. But anyway,
not
guys.
Not so important.
I think the episode will be like this. Eh? Yeah. What should I say? Except how are you? I guess that you're pretty happy right now. You're still laughing. So.
I'm good. No, it was a very long and busy week. So I'm very happy that we are in weekend. And in 2 days, so Monday after Tuesday evening, I will be on holiday for 3 weeks.
Oh, nice.
That's why I'm very happy and quite relaxed, I would say. Mm. So 2 more weekdays and...
Yeah, I decided not to take holidays since I'm not going home.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I will go to work because there will be no one. And the few people that they are there, they are don't really in the mood to work. So basically, I will be on holiday, holiday as well.
Chat and
but I have stuff to do. So it's not really that I cannot do anything. Because after people will come back to work in general and will ask me, then
what did you do?
Exactly. So... Yeah, but it's better like this, you know. Mm-hmm. I cannot travel. I mean, I can travel, but it's not really the best. Also, because with the rules that they are making right now, mm-hmm. bit from country to country, it's like you never know what will happen. Maybe you will get stuck in airport. You don't know, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I stay here, and when everything will get better, we think to travel.
I think the vaccinations have started in some countries.
It started in UK.
UK. I think in Turkey too, they started to vaccinate the critical population.
Oh no, but from this side it's fine. I think mm-hmm. that now we'll get better and better, but the point is that especially in Italy, they make so many crazy rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, if you're coming before the 20th of December, you just need to make like a proof that you're negative, like they do the test, the mm-hmm. COVID test, and you show to, I don't know who, the guards when you arrive in the airport maybe,
mm-hmm.
that you are negative and it's fine. You can enter into the country and go where you have to go. But if you arrive on the 20 or the 21,
mm-hmm.
you need to do mandatorily 2 weeks of quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that the weekend, I think that starts on the 19th of December, the first weekend before Christmas. So a lot of people are going and flying in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they just revealed this rule on the 3rd of December. So there was like chaos of people to just move their flight before.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine, I mean, I have colleagues, I have friends that they were like really stressed about this and they had to go to Schiphol because mm-hmm. here is completely booked or like, it's crazy, you know. And
Grazia went to Schiphol, right?
Yeah, Grazia is a common friend and but because they canceled her flight. So basically some destination doesn't exist anymore mm-hmm. due to Corona.
She went to... Venice.
Yeah, she will go to Venice.
Venice then, yeah.
Yeah, but before there were like other, like before there was like Ryanair
to
airport.
Bergamo?
No, I think it was Treviso.
Uh-huh.
But you know, since so few people are actually traveling and a lot of destinations are canceled, a lot of flights are canceled. Mm-hmm. And then you need to rely on the, you know, the expensive flights, the one like mm-hmm.
The KLM or...
Yeah, we have Alitalia.
Alitalia.
It's the national company, but it's basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
But then also they decided that you can travel from the 20th of December, we have color. So like mm-hmm. One region is red, it means that it's really critical. One mm-hmm. region is yellow, so it's like, yeah, okay, you can be a little bit more free. But then they decide that from the 20th of December, everything is yellow.
Yellow.
So people can move and buy stuff. But then on the 25th, everything is red. So you cannot go anywhere. So I'm like, what is it, Monopoly? Seriously, because like, I don't know. It looks like a game, a board game somehow.
You know, there was a movie like Purge Night. So one night you are free to do everything. So basically
exactly.
5 days you are free to do everything. You contaminate everyone. Then everyone is red.
I don't know. There are all these crazy rules, and I'm like, okay, you know, fuck it. I will just work, and when there's actually possibility to do stuff, I will take longer mm-hmm. vacation because right now I don't even feel I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
I mean, I put much more effort to be on holiday than either like stay at work.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that bothers me is that yeah, the weather is bad. A lot of people went away, and I don't know, a bit depressed. Yeah, exactly. I feel depressed, yeah. Actually.
We will continue with our podcast. We can watch maybe one or two more episodes of Rock of Love, so that will keep you entertained.
But, well, I don't know. Also, the concept of entertaining with the Rock of Love is... I think that we entertain each other commenting what we see, but yeah, not because we are actually entertaining of the TV series.
But it will be a topic of another episode.
Yes, for sure, we will continue.
Yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed because the episode itself didn't have so many listeners. But I think it's a pity because we are talking about very important stuff.
Well, for me personally, I look forward for the next Saint Serena.
Me too.
How you say saint in Italian? Santa, right?
Santa, yes.
So maybe we can call it Santa Serena because you're Italian.
Yeah, it's fine. But anyway, I think that I should start on a, you know, business like maybe I mentioned the last episode, like a coaching business for metalheads.
Then you said that you want to become a pimp.
You sure, yes. You know, I should talk with the
guy. Someone?
With the guy from Euroblast.
Ah, yeah.
I think that maybe the next Euroblast I can have my own spot, like, you know, like a sort of room, and then people can come and ask for, like, love advice. I think this is a guy that will accept whichever shit that
I think he can be interested about it. It's a new idea. Maybe you can have a little tent.
Yeah, exactly. That you can exactly give. But not like a corner somewhere. Like, you know, maybe I will be paid by beers or stuff like this. So it's not really
at least
like
free beer, eh?
So it's not that I need to pay taxes.
Can I be your partner in
of
this
course,
thing?
Yeah, of course, you can be my bodyguard in case things are becoming too heated.
That's because I'm fat, right?
What?
Because I'm fat, I'm the bodyguard.
No, because you're a man.
Okay.
What do you want to do? Because as giving advices, I don't know if you're good.
To be honest, your advices, again, it's our common friend Grazia. When she heard about this spiral approach theory, I would say, she was petrified.
Yeah, but because... We just
because she's not a metalhead.
because we just revealed the secret. Mm-hmm. But as long as she is inside the spiral, you don't realize it actually. it's like when you go in these courses, this workshop, and they explain you how to sell stuff to people.
Mm-hmm.
When you see from the outside, say, "Oh, but it's bullshit." Subconsciously, but then actually they're selling it these things to you, like a $9.99. You know, this kind of.
Yeah.
Do you buy stuff just because they cost €9.99?
No.
Euros?
No, I automatically I just round it to upside, not upside. No. I round it
to 10.
To 10.
In case.
Yeah. And once when I was younger, I was really against the system, let's say. I refused to buy anything with those 99 cents because, of course, we have it in Turkey. Then you are not able to buy literally anything.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. For me, it's like, yeah, I understand that 9.99 is 10 euros, for example. But yes, like, I don't know, it's fashionable.
Yeah, but basically, when you see the first nine, which is like with... I don't know, with a 16 or 20 font,
then
the other ones are like 6, so you just perceive the 9. But yeah, but also, for example, it's okay for a butter to be 9.99, but they are also selling cars like 54,999.99 euros.
Really?
Yeah, at least in United States it's always like this. 4.9999, for example.
Yeah, in Italy it's more like, okay, this is the price, but you look a nice guy, and so I will let you pay less.
Yeah.
I don't know if they use this strategy also in Turkey.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And then you realize that actually the base price was much lower.
Lower, yeah. We have a saying. I will tell it in Turkish because I cannot really translate it. We say önce bindirim, sonra indirim. It means like you raise the price first by 30%, then you cut it 15%, then everyone is happy.
Yeah,
you think you buy it too cheaper?
Exactly.
The guy
it's the same when you ask promotion. So you need to ask something crazy, and then your manager start to freak out. They say, okay, I can lower it down, but actually is what you wanted.
But it depends how much you are doing good at.
Yeah, okay. In our company, they prefer to keep the money instead to keep us, but this is another discussion.
So, shall we begin?
You didn't ask me how.
How are you? Sorry.
I'm fine.
I'm so self confused. Why you are?
You're self confused.
Self consumed. I would.
Oh, consumed. Yeah. But I don't know. Everything is sad and.
The weather.
No, you know what makes me really depressed? The Novak people.
Okay.
Or the people that they wrote on Facebook. But anyway, it doesn't matter what they will do with vaccine and stuff like this. Anything will work. And I'm like, okay, then we are like destined to a life of despair. And I mean, why you want to remove hope from me? You know, this is the thing that pisses me off so much.
I am so fascinated by those people that think that this microchip to control people from your blood veins.
Actually, it would be nice because then you can catch up a disease before that they become too big if we have this microchip.
I totally agree. Yeah? For me, it's now that with all this technology, they are aware that what we are doing anyways. So at least we can get some positive out of this.
You know what really pissed me off about these people? That they wrote on Facebook and so on. And they like the fact that they wrote on Facebook, it means that basically they sell their own private information to them.
So already,
like why you're saying that you're better than me because you don't get vaccinated because otherwise you will have microchip in your skin while actually you gave everything to Facebook like 10 years ago.
And you still keep feeding it
exactly
with everything that you share, with your photos, with your selfies. For example, my Facebook page is like a 9 gag. I just share memes. Probably there you can follow my mood generally if you just check. But I see people that literally they are sharing everything.
Yeah.
Everything,
such
literally.
Effort, you know? But like, I don't know.
I think that one of the diseases of our current age is to the desire to be seen. So when you have a page there, you think that you more fulfilled person, I would say. Because there is a, how to say, when you get likes, etc., it's you feel better about yourself. And at one point, you are becoming really, you need those likes to feel good about yourself.
But I don't know.
Try to be seen, try to be accepted by the society.
Well, there are studies that says that actually people now are more alone than before. And the reason why they are more alone is just because they have this let's say impulse to have a social connection, but having like physically it takes much more efforts than just go behind the screen, do it behind the screen, and they're just using the easiest path, that is right on social media. But in this way they actually alienated themselves, because the social media is not really an answer of feel socially connected. So you can use it from, I mean, we saw it now that we are forced to stay at home most of the time. Skype calls is fine, writing a message in Facebook is fine, but it doesn't really give the same result as actually a meet from
going to a pub together.
But
yeah,
to be honest, right now what I miss a lot is that I've reduced the amount of people that I meet. So I meet maybe like 5-6 people most of the time, because I know that is better so we don't spread so much. So the people that I don't really know, I avoid to say, oh, let's have a coffee, whatever. But I really start to feel sick right now, because before I was like meeting so many people, and it's almost a year that I'm in this situation. And I feel that I really miss part of me, as well as like traveling. Or going to concert. I'm really like, I feel that I start to have like a kind of a mental breakdown. And there's not really a solution, because I mean the situation will not change tomorrow. Thank God it will get better and better. Sometimes I think and I said, okay, I'm in this shit and I feel so shit and I cannot do anything to change it. So that's why maybe also the fact that I feel so powerless, I don't know. But it's not cool at all. But it's so bad, because you know sometimes I just have the feeling that I have to cry and I start to cry. And I don't know why. I don't know if it happens to you, but to me it happens.
For me, generally, I cry on every single movie, for Batman, for instance. When I see something that can make you a little bit sentimental, I cry.
But then there's a reason, because you are like involved in what is happening on the screen. But for me, I'm like, I don't know, I'm just working, and a certain moment I feel I have to cry, and then like I go during lunchtime, I go to the bathroom and I start to cry. Then I finish, but it doesn't happen every day. But sometimes it happens, and it's so strange because it never happened before.
I think now we are really going to our mental limits.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky that we are two people with a dog in a house, so at least I'm not alone most of the time. And another thing, my general routine, especially when I was a teenager, from age of 16, 17 to basically meeting Ece, I was playing so much video games and I was chatting online, so most of my social life was that. So we have a software like, well, it's called Discord. Many people uses it. So it's like Teams. We speak there with my cousins, etc., or with people. So for me, it was already a big part of my social interaction. So this situation now doesn't affect me as much as you are affected, for example, because when I speak with them, I feel like I'm socializing with them. So every Friday evening, we are having beers together. So they are also buying a couple of beers. I'm having beers. We play video games, drinking beers, sharing stuff. So it's like going out, but we are just playing video games. It's like a LAN party.
Yeah, for me, we not really work like this. But okay. It is what it is. What should we do? Let's continue to watch Rock of Love and discuss about
metal
heart problems.
I missed to watch a concert so much that
don't tell me.
The last week I was keep watching like old concert footages, not those shitty studio things that people said made, but with real crowd, etc., with people singing with the artist in Bart songs, for example.
Oh, have you seen that Leprous? I sent to you actually the the acoustic. Did you check something?
Yeah, I checked it.
It was so successful. Now I don't know if I'm sarcastic or not, to be honest. That he will go in. He will do kind of a concert with Ishan. I did not get it. Which kind of concert they will have?
Again, acoustic concert edition?
I don't remember. I saw that they were... This guy, like, really, why is presenting his own stuff? It's so terrible. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I mean, as a musician, okay. No, but also as a musician, you know, it makes me feel so uncomfortable.
I like his voice very much.
I like this voice, but the rest, it makes me so uncomfortable.
I think he's also not so comfortable.
Yeah, but I don't want to see someone that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, for me, I think that, for example, Devin Townsend makes me slightly uncomfortable because I can feel his pain in the stage. Because I think he's a shy person. And I can literally feel it is hard for him to be a frontman. I think Einar. I think he has also similar thing. I think he's also not a frontman material. Like for instance, I will give an example. The Anneke van Giersbergen, for example, she's also a front woman. You can literally see that she's tailored to be a front woman. She has that power.
She's such a narcissist.
But isn't it the way
for
strong front persons?
Of course, yeah.
You need to have a little bit of narcissism and some not masochism, but the other one. Yeah, you need to see yourself a bit above people.
I mean, I think that in order to be a great frontman or front woman, you need to be narcissist and extrovert.
Yeah, you need to have 100% confidence in yourself.
Yeah, because if you pick up Einar, I think that he's a narcissist, but he's not, as you said, he's introvert. Uh-huh. So it's a kind of weird feeling as well, maybe also Devin.
Possible.
But Devin I do not recognize, to be honest. Maybe we saw different life.
Possible. Devin... for example, when he's singing, you can see how much powerful he is. When in the music, he feels good. You can see that. But in between the songs, when he speaks with the audience, it's like he's in pain. At least I perceive it that way. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
Maybe he's always in pain. That's another issue. Maybe
it might be. But if I mean, I saw some of the But it's different. Now he release a lot of YouTube contents, and he looks like pretty comfortable. But of course, he's recording by himself.
Yeah.
By the way, I also think that he has a company. You know, we had this discussion about musicians or bands that are actually company right now.
Yeah,
it was mentioned that his work was the product of different people. So I guess that he makes his own business out of.
No, but it's also very, very reasonable way to keep your money to yourself. Because when you have a company, you can make your house, etc., your studio on top of your company so that you pay a little bit less tax. And with the current situation of the artists that are not earning already that much money, I think it's a logical way to at least reduce his outcomes, let's say.
Okay, well, I'm wondering how they survive as a company, because Devin itself, I don't think he had like a super huge fan base. So if he also needs to feed other, well, okay, if there are two people, it's fine, but I don't know how many they're working for him.
I believe that not so many.
Anyway, I don't get it. Why? Okay, the only thing I have is that Leopard was so successful with the previous live that they made, like asking people to pay the ticket, that probably they continue like this, because otherwise, or maybe the thing is that Aina doesn't have anything to do right now, so it's just bored and he makes these lives.
Possible,
and, so.
And it's even if you sell like 500 tickets to €7, it's better than nothing.
Well, if you don't have to pay anything, like because I saw that the venue was like an art gallery, but it looks in the middle of nowhere. So I mean, if no one goes there, why don't take it for like
maybe even
footage?
The art gallery paid him.
And then it's closed. Like I mean, it's not that they can open to people that go and visit. So why don't use it for something else?
True.
I think that a lot of people are trying to reconvert themselves because also, do you think that next year there will be festivals? I start to see like announcement.
Really?
Of festivals, yes.
For me, I'm not sure because, first of all, the first half of the 2020 is already gone. Everything is postponed or cancelled already. The second half, I'm still receiving some announcements, especially in big venues like Amsterdam, Berlin, etc. But last week, I started to... I saw 6 or 7 notifications in my app so that the concerts that I've been following, they postponed to 2021.
Yeah, but I even see a new concert planned for November 2021. And I'm like, guys, are you sure? Because, as I said, I think it will get better. But how brave you are to... because they're also not open air. So how brave you are to take the responsibility to have, like, I don't know, 5,000 people in the same confined space for a concert.
Well, it's let's see. I said 2021. I was trying to say 2022.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 2 years later.
No,
sorry.
I see concert on 2021.
That's for sure. I was already seeing some of them. I was following. Those are postponed. Some of them to 2022.
But you know who I did not hear so far? Bakken.
Yeah, I don't. It's very hard. It's how many people there? 40,000?
The last time it
100,000.
Yeah. But can you know that they even thought that now they would just finish with Wacken? Like the
really?
But can you imagine? Okay, this is my idea. This is my impression. But you have like a festival of 100,000 people that during 30 years is scaled up to 100,000. So it means that during the year you hired people to do the planning or to doing the contracts or whatever. And then there's this. Okay, 1 year you stop it, but then the second year you don't know if you can actually host even
reopen
like 30,000. And then what do you do? Okay, you can fire some people, but then are you really able to? Because it depends on which kind of business strategy they follow, but it also might be that they're working on debts. So, you know, they're like every time they make debts and they pay part of this and then they make other debts. I don't know. And I don't know how it is in
possible
Germany.
Also, yeah.
And then if you scale it down, you cannot continue with this circle. So you declare bankruptcy. So what about if it's something like this?
I think specifically for Wacken, I don't think. Yeah, I feel that even some bands, lots of bands would play
for free
just to keep it alive, because I think it's the most iconic festival in metal scene. So many European bands, for sure, they would go for free or for very low amounts of money to reignite the thing.
Yeah, but you still have to pay equipment. And besides the all expenses that you have normally, on top you need to guarantee health safety in a place, because I mean, most of these 100,000 people sleep in a tent in with tent, a really low hygiene condition. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, because I was one of them. Mm-hmm. How can you guarantee health safety there?
I think to have a festival that big, first we need to be sure that the corona is over. So they really cannot do it otherwise.
It will not happen 21 in 22, in my opinion.
But for me, I am really anxious about smaller festivals that can disappear. Some really cool festivals that can just disappear.
They will disappear, yes.
But those really iconic ones, even though they couldn't do it for 5 years, the sixth year when they announce, I think they can do it, because all the partners that are, you say, for equipment, for example, if Wacken totally disappears, it will be a huge loss for those people who sells equipments, etc. too.
Mm-hmm.
So at least for a few years, it will be also the other parties will support the festival, so that they have something to rent their equipment, to sell stuff, etc. So those big ones will survive. It is the same with the economy. So the big ones will be even stronger, because the smaller ones disappears. So in the end, it will be that way.
But I don't know. I feel it really negative, let's say, right now.
No, I'm totally with you. But those also the big festivals in US or in the South America, I think they are more or less safe. It's so iconic that really when they invite people, they will go there, because also for the artists also, if they just give up one the money that they will get from one or two festivals in a year, then they know that when the machine starts to work again, they will start earning money.
Yeah, but this is another question. Mm-hmm. To be honest, when we will see American bands or Asian bands? Because
it is very hard. Yeah.
So I have a proposal.
Yeah.
Since we are basically finished our time today, let's say that this is part one,
uh-huh.
and we talk about universe. Let's say.
Okay.
And then the second part two, you will talk about.
I will talk about Danny Carey. It's the drummer of Tool.
Okay, so it will be like a biography episode.
Yeah, biography, and I think it will be a very interesting topic, because I know how much you are interested in cults, etc. And there is a strong connection with him to cults. At least that there is a strong connection with Tool and some satanist cults. So let's see.
But he officially doesn't belong to...
No, officially he said that he doesn't have any any connections with any cult, or he's also not religious. So he says that he doesn't follow any religion or any cult. But his actions says otherwise, let's say.
But, okay, yeah. No, I was asking you, but it's not really related to our podcast. Do you consider someone that is in a cult religious, actually?
It depends. Some cults are literally religious cults. So there are cults in Turkey, in Islam, let's say, extreme. So they take one aspect of Islam and make it in an extreme. So they build a cult around it. I would say those guys are religious, or even zealots at certain extent. Some cults like Scientology, I don't understand really what it is.
Yeah, me neither.
I think it's just a society for rich people, so that they can socialize.
No, actually, it's a way to have money. I mean, Scientology is just based on the more you pay, the more you are guaranteed to be happy in the the future,
in the life
somehow. But there's also aliens involved there. I'm really amazed about these cults that consider aliens that they're actually contacting us or talking with us, or I don't know.
For me, those cults are much more interesting than the regular religious cults.
Oh, yeah, I'm so into it.
At least the discussions in between those guys is fascinating to hear. And like 95% time, it's so fun to watch. Like, they are all those theories. And on the other side, the 5%, when you think about those, actually, they spend so much time on thinking on those things, you are fascinated about their passion.
Yeah, but you know, the Scientology was born from like a book, a fictional book.
Possible, eh?
Yeah, this guy that at the end was like the master, I don't know what it was his name. He was a sci-fi writer.
Mm.
So basically,
he created,
and it's amazing because actually Dianetics was coming from one of these fiction, mm-hmm. or was a fiction. I don't know. I don't remember.
No, but yeah,
it's like okay, but since you have all this fact, how can you believe him? I mean, you see that he was selling this as a fiction before. So
well, to be honest, if H.P. Lovecraft, the creator of the Cthulhu universe, the mythos, if he lived like 20, 30 more years, I think he could make a very good, very strong cult leader. Even with the short stories that he wrote about the Cthulhu, the Cthulhu.
I say Chulu, but I don't know if it's true.
But I heard a video where he pronounced it, he says Cthulhu.
Kalahulu. So complicated.
Guys, so well, then he says that it's an ancient language, so the human mouth cannot pronounce it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but for me, I already have a tattoo of Kalahulu and also the key of Necronomicon in my arm. So I'm fascinated by his phantasm, or how to say the creativity of his he did, and how he connect in with real life, with human behavior.
Oh, you mean fantasy?
Fantasy, yeah. Ah. No. He created a world, right?
Uh-huh.
But he created the world based on human feelings and reactions. So I think if he lived a bit more, because I think he killed himself or he died out of poverty or something like this. He died very young, 30-35 years old. So if he lived like until a normal age to die, I think he would be a very strong cult leader, because still there are people really believes in what he created. Some people extended his universe.
So maybe there's a cult related to H.P. Lovecraft.
I'm 100%. I'm 100% sure it exists, because some more authors started to write novels in his mythos. Those people are seen like prophets that came after him.
Okay, and with this information, I guess that it's good to ask our listeners to wait for 1 week more for part two.
Part two. But just before closing our episode, we are maybe five more minutes.
Yeah, of course. One time that we're almost on time, we have to go later. No. Okay.
Do you have any conspiracy theory that you think can be possible?
Ooh, I'm not really a fan of conspiracy theories. I like cults.
Mm-hmm.
I'm following QAnon, but because it's so crazy that not really.
Well, I have one, and I found a scientific article about it, especially a series of scientific articles about it, who gave a possibility to it, is that we are living in a simulation.
Yeah, like Matrix?
Yes, basically Matrix.
Okay.
But it doesn't say why we are in a simulation. So in Matrix, we knew that the people were batteries that were powering the machine. The guy doesn't really care about that part, because this is sci-fi that you really don't care. But he saw he made some mathematical explanation and physical explanation to see that some things that we say natural can be actually proved to be programmed, which is very interesting. And when you start to think about it, it makes more sense. So I stopped to think about it, first of all, because I really don't care. But also some historical events, the religions, etc. He also explained those, how those events makes the theory of simulation stronger.
Yeah, but it's the same when this is something that I heard kind of from philosophers. So they say, okay, what about the world doesn't Like everything is black, everything is inconsistent without taste and so on, but your sense is actually translated in a way that it looks like there are colors and so on. I mean, this was mentioned I think at the beginning from Kant, I think, with the theory of the red glasses. But yeah, I do believe it's like this. I mean, we can only perceive what we can only access the outside world with our perception, but it doesn't mean that it's the absolute truth. That's why cats, I think, they only see in black and white, and dogs are seen in blue. So what does it mean that we are all smart because of dogs, they see us blue? Maybe we're blue, we don't know, but who can decide? There's only like our opinion against dogs' opinion. By the way, I don't even know how they know that dogs looks see in blue. But this is something that doesn't make you sleep during the night. But I agree with you, it's better not to think about it.
But the one episode we can talk about things that makes me not sleep at night, and some of them makes also AJ not sleep, because I ask one question, then the night is gone.
It is kind of related to music.
No.
Then I don't think this is the right place to do it. But let's, if someone will ask, maybe send an email to us, we can discuss about it. So are we good to close it now?
Yes. At least we spoke about some festivals, etc. So some music stuff.
Some music topics. But okay, guys, see you in part two.
Yeah, see you.